is here. He is here. Come, Yashamato. Miri kisei. Miri kisei. Yada da da da. Sera da 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 da. Melo roko soro da habi. Eve wacha katut. Mela habia gragada. Mera grosoro. Insei. Insei no wa sei de. Moshenda. Thirst fitty blies. I'm way too close. I don't know. Pusa mea. Ma ba 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 kaya. I forgot to move this after the wedding. Y'all don't get out of spirit. Stay there. Stay right where you were. Stay there. Moro visha saba. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hallelujah. We celebrate. He's alive. We celebrate. He's alive. We celebrate that he's alive. Glory to God. Make sure that mic over there is turned off, please, for me. Just turn it off. Make sure it's off. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we got to learn to stay where God is. Come on. We got to stay where God is. Stay where he is. He is our agenda. He is the program. God is. Yisha mo. Yethink ubohosata. Thank you, Jesus. Siva morosa. No, there's that one. That one on that. Okay, yeah. I turned that one off. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Oh, God. Yidarasata. Melavaroko. Meladrasabi. Bentobai ibrafisi bravansis. Boste can trisfili blas bo eluasa mushwindegivarubaska. And by viikutishusto as swallow alawahika bahashegar kataya. Ekrakataya hokoba. Ekrakatayo obia havya. Wushabera havahikurasakat. Come up here. Get it right here.
Resurrection is for every day, for everything. Whatever in your life is dead, today's the day of resurrection. You live in resurrection life. Nothing in you can be dead. Nothing can be dead. Nothing can be lost. Nothing can be thrown away. Everything that's promised will come to pass because you are life. You live in life. You do not live in death. So resurrect it. Look for it. Whatever you thought was dead, it isn't dead. It's alive. Whatever you thought was dead isn't dead. It's alive. It's resurrected. Walk in resurrection life.
Yeah. Glory to God. Woo! Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Woo! What a time we've been having up in this house this morning. Woo! Because I was going to minister to you today on complete resurrection. Complete redemption. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Complete redemption. You know, some people, they get a little taste of redemption, but they haven't learned to walk in the redemption. And God says, I want my people to learn how to walk in the redemption I purchased for them. That you don't have, you can have all the pieces. You can have it all. Nothing left out. Because I know when I was growing up, I got a piece of redemption taught to me. I didn't get all the pieces. And I tell you, it makes a difference. When you learn that you have all the pieces, you'll fight for them. Yes, you will. You'll fight the devil. You'll say, you can't have this. It belongs to me. It was mine. It was purchased for me. And I'm not giving it away to you or anybody else. Glory to God. Because you know you can forfeit stuff that Jesus gives you. I don't advise it. Oh, I don't advise doing that at all. Woo, glory to God. I can't talk. Luke 19. Woo, go-ho-sa. Yeah. Don't you love when God plans a service? Don't you love when we can just yield to him? We can just yield to what he wants to do. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. He is good. Blessed, blessed Lord Jesus. Bless, bless, bless. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And his name is holy. And this morning when we were in worship and everything, he began to talk about his holiness. He's not common. God is not common. Don't ever treat God like he's common. He can be familiar, but not common. Ha! You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm familiar with him. I'm familiar with how he speaks to me, but I never treat him as common. I'm always in awe of him. We need to stay in awe of God. Somehow the church has gotten, common. It's just like, it's just everyday stuff. How can God be everyday stuff? How can God, I'm just saying, he wants to invade your everyday stuff. Not be everyday stuff, but he wants to invade it with his presence, with his holiness, with his power, with who he is. And he is not common. He is not common. We should always be in awe of God. Glory to his name forever. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, there was a lot lost in that garden that day. You realize that? Matter of fact, God's whole love plan was in that garden. And they handed the whole kit and caboodle over to the devil. Do you know we can do the same thing? It's called deception. There's nothing new under the sun. The devil only has one tactic, and it's called deception. That's the only one he needs. Did you know that? That's the only one he needs. If he can convince you that somehow something going on in your life or in your body or in your mind is more powerful than God, that's all he has to do, is to get you to focus on that instead of the power, the resurrection power of God. This is what he does over and over and over and over and over. And then if he can get your mouth to agree with all of it, it's a done deal. Yeah, he will get you. See, he can't do it. He can't do it. He needs our participation. If he can get you to agree with him about little things, then he'll start working on bigger ones. It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's true. You think, well, that's just a little word here and there. No, it's not. It's not a little, because the result is always disastrous. So it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. God is not common. He's holy. And he said, you'll be judged by the words of your own mouth. We'll be judged by the words of our mouth. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to be judged for sin. I'm going to be judged by the words of my mouth. Did my mouth line up with what God said, or did I just say whatever I wanted to say whenever? Did I decide that it didn't really matter somewhere along the way? That means I disagreed with God. At some point, we have to say, you know what? I am going to get to where I say just what God says. And if I can't say that or figure it out at the time, or if I'm frustrated, I will shut my mouth. But I will not speak against what God has said, who I am, what I'm about, and who he is and what he's about. Because people are praying and praying. And then they work against the very plan, the love plan God has for them, with their own mouth. And they say, well, I'm just going to sit this one out. I think I'll just sit this one out and do this and think this and do what I feel like doing. Well, how's that working for you? Yeah, that's what I thought. Look in Luke 23. Yes, Lord. Yes, absolutely. Look at this in verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence," this is the chief priest, where they brought Jesus before him, about Pilate, I mean, "and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him." Who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. He will bring an accusation that you've done something you hadn't even done. He will tell you you've got something in your heart, and it's not in your heart at all. He planted that seed in your mind. Yeah. I've had it happen. Well, maybe I didn't help enough. Maybe I didn't try hard enough. Maybe I could have done more, and beat you up. And the reality was that person wasn't listening to a thing you said all along. They weren't listening. It's on them. It's not on you if people don't listen to you. That's not on you. That's on them. And you just keep praying for them. But I mean, you can't make somebody cooperate with the Lord. Even God can't. Remember? He says, so neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. He said, I didn't find any fault with him. I sent you back to Herod. He can't find any fault with him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. They decided he doesn't deserve death. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one to them at that feast. That was a custom. And they all cried out. Listen to this. The madness of hell, the rage of hell against truth. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. A lawbreaker. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. They overrode. Pilate couldn't even talk over all the din that they were making. They were stirring up such a fuss. Then he said to them the third time, but what evil has he done? He said, tell me what he's really done. What is it you're so upset about? Why are you so adamant about this? What has he actually done? He said, I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent. They were relentless. Are we? Do you notice how the devil doesn't give up? Have you noticed that? He doesn't give up. You have to cast him out. You have to do something. He won't just quit because he's having a slow day. Y'all understand? So if he doesn't quit, why do Christians think they can quit? You say, well, I'm just tired. I'm just going to take a break. That's what I'm just going to take a break. That's your way to brokenness. The very things God healed you of, that's your way to brokenness. I'll just take a break from what? Take a break from God. Take a break from the one who died for you. The one who loves you most. The one who knows you best. The one who's got your future, a really good future laid out for you. Right? I mean, it's there. It's already right there. In that realm, your future's right there. And you say, I want to take a break from all the joy that would bring me. See, our thinking gets messed up, doesn't it? We can think wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts don't come from God. And if you agree with wrong thoughts, don't ever come into agreement with wrong thoughts. Even other thoughts that people say to you, those are wrong thoughts. They can be wrong thoughts. And they said, I found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. They said, they were insistent, demanding with loud voices. They said, well, we'll just get louder. You know, that's what Satan does. Have you ever noticed? He just wants to overpower. He wants to. He comes and he wants to make you think he's powerful, that he can overpower you. He cannot. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. Pilate had authority to do whatever. You know what? Why he didn't? Fear. All he had to do was call the Roman soldiers. But it was fear. Oh, there's going to be an uproar. And what would I do? Well, you would use your authority. That's what you would do. And you'd call out the Roman soldiers. Get these characters out of here. Get them out. The ones that won't stop, lock them up. Tell them to shut up. But he shouted demonic. But demons, all of a sudden, he felt fearful. You can see him struggling here, like, but this isn't right. I mean, he knew that. A Roman, he knew that. Well, he's not deserving of death. You want me to just kill an innocent man? Oh, he was more than just an innocent man. Where do you suppose he is now? Where do you see, you know what I'm saying? Like, our decisions really matter. The things that seem like they're not so important at the time, they are. Because God is strategic, right? And so us staying in the zone with God is a big deal. It's not a small thing. It's a big deal. Pilate thought, well, I mean, then he'll be gone. It'll be done, right? You see how that backfired on him. And don't you know, I hope at some point after Jesus' resurrection, this man got his life right with God. Because he knew there was something about Jesus, and he said, I don't want to touch this. I don't want to, there's something real messed up here. Because it didn't make sense even to him, because they couldn't designate anything that Jesus had ever done worthy of death. And it's because he never did anything worthy of death. All he ever did, he went about doing good. That's what the Bible says. He went about doing good. So you're going to kill him because he helps the poor? You're going to kill him because he's opening blind eyes? You're going to kill him because lepers are healed? Is that what we're doing here today, Pilate? You understand what I'm saying? But do you see that mob rule? Mob rule can be terrifying. It really can. And he didn't know, but they would rush him or whatever, because he's right there. And they were gnashing. It's like they have, you know, Satan has a look on his face. Yeah. He does. He can get a look on his face. If you've ever dealt with somebody that's in a rage or something like that, you know that look. Yeah. And what you do is you move right up into it and say, stop it in Jesus' name. Stop that. If it's up in your house, you get up and you tell it to stop. Why should the devil come up in your house and talk smack to you? I literally did that one time. Yeah, it was a family member. And I don't know what happened, but they came home and they were just really angry and just really out of character. I'll put it that way, very out of character. And I just got up in their face. And I said, you stop that. You get off of him in Jesus' name. You get out of my house right now. And he went just like this. And then they realized what happened and came into agreement with me. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my word. Because this person never talks to me like that. And if somebody talks to you really ugly, pretty much, you need to get up in their face more often and tell them, stop. Stop. I'm a child of God. Who are you? Who are you? And if they say, well, I'm a child of God, then act like it. And let's stop this foolishness right now. Amen. Well, I don't know. You can either, you know, there's thinkers and there's hearers and then there's doers. Now, to do, you have to do all the other two. But thinkers, you know, they talk and they think, but they never do. But a doer has already been thinking and they've been talking and now they're acting and they get results. Now, you want results in your life or not? Yeah. Faith without works is what? Dead. That means it's not moving. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing. Satan breeds confusion. It was confusing. Pilate was confused because he could not understand the vehemence of their anger. It didn't make sense to him. But it did in the demonic realm. It made perfect sense. They wanted him gone. They wanted him dead. And it was religion. I think of all the meetings that these Pharisees were standing at where Jesus was teaching and preaching. They followed him around. They always had somebody there bringing a report, or they would go and they would listen. Jesus ministered every time he went out of town or whatever. He went to the synagogues and he was preaching and teaching. Did y'all know that? I mean, he attended synagogue. He was a Jew. He attended synagogue. So he was always there. And so, but he was so different, and he didn't kowtow to the Pharisees. A lot of people say, oh, a Pharisee, yes, and, you know, whatever. He was respectful, but he didn't kowtow. There's a difference. He wasn't afraid, and he wasn't intimidated by who they were, what they knew, anything like that. Because he knew everything they knew, and he knew their hearts, too. Jesus, the Bible says, knew the hearts of men. He knew their very heart. And so I want you to understand that Satan breeds confusion when there's something in a family or something going on. It just seems so confusing. Satan's at work. You need to find out, is he at work in you? That's the first place you look. Not to other people. You look at you first and say, what am I doing to breed confusion? Do I speak confusing words? Do I say this when I'm feeling good, and then when I'm not, I say this? Is that what happens? That's confusing. And it means you can't receive anything you're praying for. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Neither can he receive anything from the Lord. Let not a double-minded man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. So the Lord's already telling you, you can't be double-minded. And we have to get control. The spirit of self-control is so powerful, and it only works with love. You have to get to where you love God more than your attitude. Because a lot of people, if you can find somebody to tolerate it, it'll go on for years and years and years. It really will. And you have to get to where when somebody is in that kind of zone, because it breeds confusion, because you'd be thinking, well, what have I done? It didn't have anything to do with you. Our behavior is about us, not other people. Now, Jesus demonstrated that. If anybody ever did it, it was Jesus. He didn't respond to what they did. He responded to what the Father told him to do. That's the only alteration in his behaviors. Is he would change what he was doing when he heard the Father do something, but he didn't change it because of somebody else's attitude or what they were saying to him. Now, if we're going to be like God, the way he wants us to be, we have to master this. Y'all understand? It'll take your life to do it. But he says that we can really improve in this, where we are so in touch with what God is having us do that we don't alter who we are and what we're doing just because somebody blows up at us. We do a searching of heart to see, have we provoked somebody in some way, in an ungodly way. But if they're provoked because of the gospel, then so be it. But even then, the way you present it can be altered. You understand? Like God may say, you know, I'm not harsh. I don't want you to be harsh with these people. I'm not harsh. I'm love. But you still tell the truth. And he may say, why don't you tell them the whole truth? Why were you just nice and just kind of did a good deed? And right in the middle of talking to them, you dropped it because, you know, you didn't want to be whatever. We'll be judged by our words. I'm just saying. We'll be judged by our words. Satan breeds lies about people. Jesus was falsely accused. Well, how did that happen? Lying. That's how that happened. It's still going on today. Nothing's changed. That was just their media of the day. Or we have our media of the day. It's almost like you can't believe anything. Because you're going to have to get discerning of spirits. I said this and said this for years. The thing that we have to develop and really cry out for is discerning of spirits. Because what I see is people by the droves following the wrong deal, which means they've been deceived. They did not have discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits is one of the gifts of the Spirit. That you can, in other words, it looks nice and everything, but you've got this thing and you're going, something's off. Something's wrong. That ain't God. And then it won't be long till you discover exactly what it was. So we have to get to where we trust God in us, our helper. Yeah, it is, how do I say? It's grandiose to think we don't need help. We need help. And Jesus did not leave us here without help. He said that. He said, it'd be okay. I haven't left y'all without anybody to help you. He said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you the Comforter. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into error. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into something that's false. And it's going to be stuff that agrees with what God is saying in His Word. Flakiness comes about where people forget what God has already said, and then they come up with some new message or some new deal. That's where that flaky mess comes from. Okay, so we're not flaky mess. Y'all understand? We're not flaky. We exalt the Word of God. He's exalted His Word above His own name. But we do need discerning of spirits, because a lot of things are going to look legit, and they're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. It's going to look like people are trying to be helpful, but that's not the agenda. I'm just telling you, that is what happened in the life of Jesus. Satan breeds demonic activity. He just breeds it. And the more we give in to him, the more that will come. Because neither give place to the devil. He can't come without a place. He's got to have a place where he can come in. And the only way he can come into our life is when we give him a place where he can come in. If you're going through a hard time, you need to really, really pray in the Spirit more. Pray in the Spirit. If you're depressed, don't sit there. If you're depressed about anything, pray in the Holy Spirit. Your helper will help you. It will build you up in your most holy faith. The Bible says there's a way out, and the way out is into prayer. Pray and get your head cleared up. Pray. I don't care how long it takes. It's worth it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to stay in the zone. And the early church spent a lot of time in prayer. They were under persecution. It was real important that they had discerning of spirits, right? Big. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal all over the world today. Who you trust, who you tell things to, who you whatever. It is a big deal. Now, I just want to remind us that redemption was always God's plan. But it wasn't a partial redemption. It was a full redemption. And most people never understood it. They were under Roman rule. Well, the Romans certainly didn't understand it. Slavery, all this, that was never God. That's not anywhere in God's love plan. Don't tell me that's a love plan. And for years, the church used scriptures to justify owning slaves. And I'm thinking, merciful heavens. You didn't have very many people praying in tongues, is all I can say. Seriously. Because he's here to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If you were praying in tongues, the Bible says when you read the word of God, you'd come under conviction about stuff. You will. Eventually, you'll come under conviction. We're slow learners, but we'll get there. I'm just saying, the church as a whole. Because Jesus said to his disciples, why are you so dull of hearing? Have I been with you all this time and still you do not understand? That's why I can say that. It's because Jesus did. In other words, he was saying, y'all are slow on the draw here. Y'all are slow. We got to get with it. We got a job to do. And I feel like the time is short. I feel like America is in the crossroads. Well, the whole world is. The whole world is just, I don't know. And I'll say this, according to what the media is presenting. Now, I will also tell you that God is on the move, and God is always ahead of the devil. So if you think that somehow things are out of control on the other side, you have missed it. You have missed it. Do you think for 1 minute that God doesn't know what's going on? Do you think for 1 minute that God has forgotten you? Do you think for 1 minute that we're just left to the devices of hell being wide open on the earth? Absolutely not. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and they should say so. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Yeah. We've been given dominion. Yeah. And God says, use it. Yeah. Use it over your own thoughts. Use it in your life. Use it in your family. Use it to pray over things. Your goods, whatever you've got. You pray over those things. You stand in the middle of your field and you fight.
Yes. Yes.
There's two different stories in the Bible. I've preached these before. One was a barley field and the other one was a lentil field. And they stood in the middle, one man stood in the middle of the field and defended that crop because it meant they were either going to live or die. I'm telling you, we're at that place now.
Yes.
Either we live for God or you're just going to dry up on the vine. And you've got to choose whom you will serve. And who you serve means you're really serving Him. You can't say I'm serving God while you're just doing whatever you want to do all the time. That's not serving God. That's called deception. And that's basically what I grew up in. I mean, you went to church and everything, but then after that, you listen to whatever music you want to. You do whatever you want to do. And I'm saying that's not God. That is not God's love plan for people. It was a complete thing for all of creation. And we said, I'm just going to read this one verse, and y'all, it's familiar to y'all, but it's not familiar to everybody on Facebook, I know. And so I'm going to read it. All I have to do is get all these pages turned over. Okay. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, that's the whole Trinity. It's a group plan for, it's one God. Then God said, let us make man or mankind. That word man is talking about the species of man, mankind, okay? And for years and years and years before anybody decided to ever look anything up, in a lot of little small country churches, they said, see, their man was made in God's image, but woman wasn't. You know, so it started early. That's called prejudice, by the way. When you have an already decided view about something, you've already decided that's what prejudice is. You hadn't met him, you don't know him, you don't know squat, but you've made a decision already. That's what prejudice is. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So he's saying, let's make these people, mankind, that's male and female, in case y'all are interested, in our likeness. Let them, the people, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created people, mankind, in his own image. Men and women were created in the image of God. Men and women created in the image of God. So God didn't care if you were a woman, if you were black, if you were brown, if you were yellow. He doesn't care. Y'all understand?
Amen.
I wish the church could get this and get this settled somehow so we could move forward. And he said, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, the people, men, women. Okay. There's just men and women in the Bible. Then God blessed them. And at this point, it's Adam and Eve. And God said to them, to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He never gave dominion for them to be over one another.
That's right.
Now, that's God's love plan. Because he valued them. And God knew that he was in charge.
That's right.
Do you know that God is still in charge? I just want to let y'all know. This is a press release. God is in charge. God knows that he's in charge. Other people don't seem to know that. They don't seem to know. They feel like to lord some position or something over other people. And Jesus specifically told his son, now y'all don't do that. Don't be like that.
Right.
Do not be like that. That is the way of the world.
Right.
That's the way of the world. So when you have Christian people doing that in their family with their spouse, that's the way of the world. It's not the way of God.
That's right.
Now turn to Deuteronomy 28. Y'all think this is long, but it's not. Y'all can see I'm wound up. But I'm telling you, God is good, and there's things that God wants us to get straight. We don't have time to be messing around with this other stuff. We need to move forward. Now look in Deuteronomy 20. I'm just going to say this because I know we read this and read this. And we're going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Because faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
If you hear something once, you don't have it. I can tell you right now, you don't get it. You have to hear it and 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 hear it. Because everything out there is contrary. There are a lot of religious spirits. Religious spirits oppress. They always bring oppression to just certain people. And other people get a free ride. I'm just telling you, that's a religious spirit. It is. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord says, now it shall come to pass. This is talking about the law of Moses, and this was their guaranteed prosperity right here. I'm fixing to read to you, guaranteed by God as you obey him. This was his love letter to people. Now, they were under the old covenant, for Pete's sake, if they can have all this just by just obeying God. I mean, they had guaranteed prosperity under the old covenant if they just do what God told them to do. Now, Jesus fulfilled in that lineage that was promised to Abraham, who also had guaranteed prosperity as he obeyed God. We have that today. And I'll tell you, prosperity is way more than money, because there's a lot of miserable people that have money. They're just miserable. They're killing themselves. Their suicide rates are up. And they have everything that this world has, but they're miserable. But it includes it. So a lot of people say, well, that's just money. Well, they're not being honest with their heart. Because when their kid needs college tuition, they won't be saying, well, it's just money. It doesn't matter. They won't be saying that. I'm just telling you, they won't be. That's not what they're going to say. I heard somebody recently, I can't remember who it was. It was a minister talking about some statistics and stuff. And they said the number, no, I remember who it was. It was Benny Hinn. It was one of those pop-up things on Facebook, and I listened to it and heard from him in a long time. And he was in the car just doing it. He said, I just felt led of the Lord to do this. And he was talking about that in ministry, the request that they get the most, what would you think it would be? Healing. Okay. Any other thoughts? Money. Anybody else want to say what they think it is? What? Happiness. Prayer for depression. Yeah. Okay. The number one thing that Christians and people call in for are finances. So when Christians are mad at people who have money, darling, you're mad at the people that can help you and teach you, help you with this stuff? Seriously? Do you see, this is like shooting your foot and then complain you can't walk. The number one request for prayer is finances. Christians are messed up with their finances all the time. No money. No money to go anywhere, do anything. Nothing's ever paid for. They owe on everything. I mean, everything. And then after that is healing. Don't y'all find that interesting? Yeah. So I'm just saying, when we're talking about prospering, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And some people say, yeah, but, and they come up with all kind of reasons why that's just not really what God meant. And I'm coming up with all kind of reasons why I know it is, and it's called the Word of God. And if we look in Deuteronomy 28, it says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now there's the key. Like, is God your focus? Are you willing to obey God? Really, are you willing to obey God? Because it's gonna cost you to obey God. It'll cost you to obey. It really will. You will get tired. Your body will get tired, but you'll be refired. It's okay. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He said, because you obey, they'll take you, they overtake you because you obey. So obedience to God is a big deal. Now, this is under old covenant. Could it be less that obedience doesn't matter anymore with Jesus? Would it be a lesser thing? No, absolutely not. How could it be less that we obey the Lord? And he says the things that he tells us. And Jesus, and we're going to look at this. Oh, I don't know if I wrote them down. I didn't. Okay, that's okay. But I know them. But Jesus gave us the command of love. He gave us the command of love. That everything that we do, we love one another. We love God. We love others as we love ourselves. There's so many different scriptures on the love, the command to love. Well, no matter what you do, or give your body to be burned, but you don't have love, you don't have anything. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter talks about these things. And so he's saying that whatever you have to do to where you truly love people, really love people. And I'll tell you, you will be tested in this often. I'm just telling you. Because you just will. Because not everybody knows what you know. Not everybody catches on very quickly. Not everybody. They always think of something else. People always think it's something else. If I just had this, or I had a special anointing, or somebody, a special somebody something. And they don't know. The special thing that's special is obeying. That's the special. That is the special anointing. Ha. Just obey. Just whatever Jesus is telling you to do, whatever the Word has told you to do, why not just do that? Because if you do that, then you will walk in everything God has for you. You will walk in it. It'll be automatic. It'll be effortless for you. Your effort is in your obedience, not trying to get something for yourself that's already been provided. He says, and then all these things will be added unto you. Remember? He said, then all these things will be added. They'll just be added. They'll be added to you. Well, who's going to do it? He does. Your Father God does that. Ooh. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle. In other words, whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to produce, it will produce. Amen. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be, in other words, whatever sustains you, it'll still be sustaining you. That was a mainstay in that culture, the bread. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, that is not contingent on people's attitudes toward you. That is contingent upon you obeying God. God has said, I will bless you. Never mind what they think. Never mind what they've said. I will bless you. I am your God. They aren't. They don't know how to get stuff to you. I do. I know how to get stuff to you. I know how to connect you to what you need. I know how to connect you to the very things you've been praying for 5 years. But I know the timing, and I know how to connect you with everything that's supposed to be in your life for my love plan for you. Because it's out of his heart of love that he already had these things for us to begin with. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now for us, that's just devils. It's not people. People are not your enemy. Back then, it was a different mindset and different covenant, you understand. But when somebody comes against you, it's kind of like, since God is inside of you and can reproduce any loss that you suffer, he'll just reproduce it. The same way you got the first, you'll get the next. You just believe God. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Because over and over and over, their enemies would come and wipe them out. And then when God got ready to bless them, he just brought all the blessings back. Right. He said, all right, y'all ready to listen? Here they come. Let's go at it again, folks. That's kind of the way God was with the Israelites. He says, he'll cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. And this all hinges on our obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And what God was saying is, if you can do a lot of things, and you may do a lot of things I told you not to even do, but they look good. You thought it looked good for you to do it, so you did it anyway. You didn't get any kudos for that. You didn't get points. You got demerits. The Lord will command. Ooh, I love this. The Lord will command the blessing on you. He commands a blessing. Suzanne, I command the blessing. This is like God. He said, I command the blessing. I command the blessing in this house. I command the blessing to come on you. See? And God says, I do that. So the one in whom all the earth is answerable to says, watch this, I'll command it. All I have to do is, yes, right here. He can whistle. The Bible talks about he whistles. He can whistle for an enemy. He can whistle for things. He just whistles. Hey, yeah, right there, her. Him. Yep, right now. Yes. Nope, now. Yes. I command the blessing. Don't you love this? Yes. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and to all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. God has territory for you. Yes. Now, we have spiritual territory. And some people, if you're faithful in the territory you're in, he can expand your borders. Yes. See? Because you have territory. Oh, I love this. I feel this all over me. Because a lot of people don't think about it that way. That spiritually, it's like you have a realm of influence. I'll put it this way, maybe. A realm of influence. And God says, if you're faithful in the realm of influence I have placed you, I can then exalt you to a larger realm of influence. As you have determined in your heart to obey me at all cost. Then he goes, I trust that one. Trust that one right there. Consistent, steadfast, immovable, unchangeable, staying in the zone. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Now for us, we hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. And then we have a choice. But see, we're still obeying command. It's just not these. Yeah. And God has already commanded the blessing on us. Yeah. See, this is the thing, is that under our new and better covenant, we walk in the blessing. The blessing was commanded for us so we can walk in that blessing already, because he's already commanded the blessing on us. But a lot of times, we're not obeying him enough for the blessing to flourish and be what God intended for it to be. Because see, our lack of obedience to Jesus, our shepherd, when the sheep go, I don't want to hear that. You know, when we don't want to hear what he has to say. Y'all understand? Then it's kind of like, it wasn't that the blessing wasn't there. We just thought the grass was a little greener over here. Because the way it looked, the way it seemed. And so we were moved by the way something looked or the way it seemed to us at the time. And it didn't. And so God says, I've still got your blessing, but it's not there. It's right here. It's over here. Y'all understand? So obedience is a big deal. It's a big deal. It matters. And he goes on to say, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you were called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Plenty. Plenty. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. That's called stuff. Things. Things. It's never bothered me for people to have a lot of money. I don't know why. It's just never bothered me at all. It's just never been an issue for me. It is for some Christians. Well, I just don't think Christians should have much. And I go, you're going to hate heaven. You just need to tell Jesus you don't want to go because you're not going to like it. All that gold, all that jewelry. I told George one time in this store, I said, you know, heaven's just a bunch of jewelry. Mm-hmm. But those same people, when they got married, they wanted a rock. I hear you back there. I hear you. I heard you back there. I don't know if you're laughing or choking. But he said, plenty of goods. Now, if you look that up, what that's saying, it's like to exceed. It's like over. It's like over and beyond. Plenty is over and beyond. And he said, plenty of goods, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock. In other words, everything you got. Because he's already said, I'll bless whatever you put your hand to. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to bless your kneading bowl. I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless your herds. I'm going to bless your flocks. I mean, everything. Everything. In other words, there's not an area where he won't bless. There's no area where he won't bless. Boy, I wish I had known this really years and years ago. Because there's so many things I would have done differently. So I'm glad about redemption. I am glad about redemption. He can redeem your time. He can redeem your years. The cankerworm, the palmer worm, the chewing locust came and chewed up and chewed up and chewed up while we were stiff-necked or didn't know or ignorant or just because he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge and we were just almost dead. But I'm telling you, God, there's a revival. He's called Jesus Christ. The Word of God will revive you. The Word of God, if you'll get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you so that the Word of God is what comes out of your mouth. The Word of God is what you want. The Word of God is what you're hungry for. The Word of God is what you're looking for. And you're looking for the manifestation of the Word of God. Yeah. See, I'm looking for a manifestation of what he has said. That's the manifestation I look for. Yeah. Y'all understand? This is a big deal. Yeah. Because everything I'm looking for has to be what he said he wanted to give me. Everything I'm shooting for has to be what his plan was for me that he's revealed in his word. And it's all written in here. Yes. Jesus wrote it in blood. And you know, don't you just love the Lord today? I love the Lord so much today. And he said, you won't borrow, you'll lend. He said, the Lord will open in verse, look at this. Ooh, I love this. In verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure. Gosh, the heavens. Okay, well, we already established heaven's a bunch of jewelry. In other words, there's plenty of heaven. Nobody in heaven goes, I'm so hungry. There's nothing here. There's nothing good in that refrigerator up there down at Paul's house. I went to Paul's house. There's nothing there. There's none of that. Y'all understand. We're supposed to be living out of abundance, not lack. We're supposed to be living out of overflow, not trying to go get something. Park us and perk us up and help us get over whatever. See, but the Word of God being alive in you is what, that's what does it. Glory. You shall be above only and not beneath. Satan wants to put his foot on your head. But Jesus put his foot on Satan's head. And see, this is what we got to remember. See, He's ticked off about that because he's already had one foot on his head. Y'all understand?
Yep.
And he doesn't want you to know that you have that same privilege. The devil wants to talk you out of your privileges. He wants to talk you out of your money. He wants to talk you out of your abundance. He wants to talk you out of your kids being right with God. He wants to talk you out of all these things because you're just looking at things in the natural. We're not natural. We're not. We're redeemed people. We should live, think, move, breathe differently. Amen? Y'all ready to stand up? All right. Can we play that song, God Walks in the Room? Can you play that CD, the one, I don't know which one it is, God Walks in the Room? What number is that? I want that. While they're looking for that, wait a minute, Chris, while they're looking for that, I'm going to let Mr. Gene give us a word real quick.
I gave you my life so that you can be free. The freedom I give is supernatural. There is no chain that can bind you except those you speak forth or come into agreement with. At the cross, everything was restored. At the cross, you were saved, delivered, healed, and forgiven. Do not submit yourself again to slavery unto sin. The price that was paid was too high for you to take it lightly. It was love that led me to the cross. It is my love that will lead you to the cross. Surrender everything to me and walk with me in love.
In love. That's it. Because Jesus, everything he did, let me say this, was the love for the Father. It was the love for the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Now Jesus walked in love, but Jesus did what he did because he loved the Father. And everything we do is out of love. Because we love the Father. And Jesus gave us the capacity to understand that. And now we are the ambassadors of Jesus on planet Earth. Play that song for me now, Chris. Let's just worship the Lord. You need to get at an altar, whatever you need to do, and say, you know what? I need fixing. Jesus is the fixer.